The Lord be with you. Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in them. Now, when the crowds hear Jesus say this, they grumble to themselves and say, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And Jesus hears their grumbling and says, does this offend you? And so he tries to explain it more clearly to them. He says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. My words are spirit and life. And Martin Luther understands Jesus' explanation to be saying that when we receive Christ's body and blood in the bread and wine of communion, it's not scarfing down Jesus' meat that transforms our lives. It is the act of hearing the promise of Jesus being within us and for us when we eat that bread and wine as his body and blood. So, for instance, if this loaf of bread were consecrated at church for communion, but then it got left here on my counter and I didn't know it was part of church communion and I just walked by and I was like, oh, a piece of bread, and I bit off a hunk. In that moment, I am not being transformed by Christ's body. I'm just having a snack. And in the same way, when we are at church and we go up to the altar for communion, right, we don't try to stuff our face with as much Jesus meat as possible, because the point isn't how much flesh we get when we eat. The point is that no matter how big a chunk of bread or how small a crumb, we hear the promise that this is Jesus' flesh given for us, and we receive it, recognizing that now it is within and a part of us. And so too, we look around and we see everyone else having communion, and we see and recognize that Jesus is within them and is a part of them. But the truth is, this understanding is even harder. In fact, when the crowds say, this is a hard teaching, who can accept it? The Greek is literally, who has the strength to hear it? Because it is a hard thing to hear that Jesus dwells in everyone who shares his body and blood at communion. To hear this is to hear that Jesus dwells in Afghanis clinging to the side of an airplane as it takes off. To hear this is to hear that Jesus dwells in a U.S. soldier who has lost limbs and friends in Afghanistan and wonders now what it all meant. To hear this is to hear that Jesus lives in our neighbor across the political aisle and in the person begging on our street. And that is a hard thing to hear. Who has the strength to hear that? Who has the strength to be present to it? To hear such things breaks our hearts. It breaks our hearts, and so we would rather close up our eyes and stop up our ears than hear these words. And if we don't have the strength to hear the suffering and be present to the lives of all these people in the world, then how could we possibly have the strength to be the dwelling place for Jesus? This teaching is hard. Who has the strength to hear it? The crowds who followed Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000, our gospel today tells us that many of them leave Jesus. They stop following him after he explains his teaching to them. They go somewhere else to look for God. You see, they want to keep God at a safe distance, at an arm's length. They want to look for God elsewhere. Maybe keep God in a box like the one that we heard King Solomon built today. A temple in which to put God, a place where they can go and be sure that God will hear them when they pray, when they ask for God's help, but then that they can leave. They can leave God without worrying about having to leave a part of themselves behind. Because that's what so many of us try to do. To think that what it means to have life is to hold all the pieces, together ourselves to try to hoard all the bits and make sure they don't fall apart. But the truth is, if I were to hoard this bread, eventually it would go stale. It would rot and it would mold and it would crumble and disappear. And the same is true with our lives, with all the things that make up our lives, with our joys and our sorrows, with our passions and our purpose and even our pain. If we try to hold it all to ourselves and not share it, then it just grows stale and moldy and rotten and crumbles and disappears. But Jesus tells us today that when we eat his flesh and drink his blood, not only does he dwell in us, but we dwell in him. You see, if we take this bread and instead of hoarding it, instead we give it away, if instead we break it to share it, well, suddenly this bread, it disappears, yes, but it disappears not into destruction, it disappears in transformation. Suddenly this bread can become the bodies of our friends and our families. It can even become the bodies of neighbors and strangers. Suddenly this bread becomes their lives. It becomes their labor. It becomes their dreams and their achievements. And the same is true when we learn to share our lives as Jesus does, to give our lives away as bread for the world as Jesus does. When we learn to share ourselves, the fullness of who we are with our friends and family, but even with neighbors and strangers, then our lives are transformed. Yes. In sharing ourselves with others, the people around us and their struggles, they will still break our hearts, but now our hearts are broken not for destruction. Our hearts are broken for communion. They are broken so that they might be given away and shared, that they might enter the life of someone else and be transformed to become part of that life. Now, our life becomes the life of a nurse, keeping a COVID patient breathing. Now, our life becomes the life of a girl in Afghanistan who will forever know how to read because for 20 years, a U.S. soldier stood guard at her school. Our life becomes the life of a farmer who loves the land and rejoices in abundant harvest. And our life becomes the life of a parent holding a newborn child. When we believe that we eat and become Christ's flesh, suddenly we understand what Solomon, with all his wisdom, understood when he gazed upon the temple that he had built to house God. For when Solomon saw the finest work, the greatest achievement of his kingdom, he realized in that moment that no building was big enough to contain God. And neither is our life big enough to contain who God has called us to be. For just as God overflows from the temple and even from the highest heaven and cannot be contained, but flows through all of creation, so too do we when we abide in Christ. And praise be to God, because the truth is, by myself, I don't know if I have the strength to bear the burdens of life. But if Christ dwells in me, and so do you, and if I dwell in Christ and you do too, then we don't have to carry the burdens of life alone. Christ carries them with us, in word and spirit, yes, but also in the flesh through our siblings in Christ who are Christ's body. And when, at the last, the shadows lengthen and evening comes, and the busy world is hushed and our work is done, when on that day our body dies, we will not, because we dwell in Christ, who ascends from death to life. Jesus says, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," so that he may dwell in us and we in him. It is a hard teaching. May we pray for the strength to hear it. For as Peter says, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." And in hearing those words, we learn that our life lives in the God who cannot be contained. And so, may we hear Christ's words, that we may live not alone, but together in Christ, now and forever. Amen.